Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday, a weekly podcast where we're breaking down all of our favorite slashers, thrillers, monster movies, and black comedies on the new scariest day of the week. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Height.
And I'm Chelsea Duh.
And boy, do we have a film for you this week. Wow. This is one of the most modern movies we've done in a really long time. It's starring our collective love of our lives, probably that's fair to say.
I would say next week's movie is starring the collective love of our lives.
Okay,
this is a close second.
Okay, fair. Second. Our female love of our lives. The babe, the dame, Megan Fox. This is her 2021 film, Till Death. And wow, you know, I honestly liked it. I had a really good time. I drank two Manhattans while I watched this. I felt fancy. It was like the first horror movie I watched for 2022. So like, I feel like I had a good time. Was it
you
perfect?
Started the year off on good vibes.
Yeah.
Cause here's the thing. A Megan Fox revival is good vibes. And she really had a moment there in 2021. You know what I mean? MGK stuff aside, she had Till Death. She had that movie, The Vampire One. She was in Night Teeth, which I started one time, and then somebody started talking to me, so I never finished it. But I can only assume
about that one.
Megan Fox playing a vampire, probably worth a watch. We'll have to go back
Definitely.
To it. She had that other one. Didn't that other one come out with that MGK was in with her where they met, Midnight in the Switchgrass or whatever it's called?
That came out.
Oh, yeah, that came out. Yeah, I'd never even heard a single thing about it, except I read that entire article about Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox that they did with the I Am Weed thing. We all read it.
Where they're like, we are demons together, blah, blah, blah. And they were talking about their, they did a lot in 2021.
They had a big 2021.
Not to get celebrity gossipy, but.
Oh, no. We're talking about Megan Fox in 2021.
Here.
We have to do it.
Everybody was acting like they were really cringe as a couple. And I'm not trying to say that they're not. And I don't know if it was just the Jennifer's body of it all, but I kept being like, they're just fucking with everyone. And nobody
yes.
else was like getting those vibes.
Thank you, Chelsea. Thank you. Oh my God. Everybody retweeted that tweet that was like Machine Gun Kelly. First thing Machine Gun Kelly ever said to me was, I am weed. And like everyone. And then they like chopped it together. So it made it seem like she like swooned or something after he said, I am weed. It's like that's if you read the article, excuse me, you would see the context to that whole thing. And she literally said that, like, she met him that night. He said the I am weed thing. And she was like, that was kind of weird. And then they never talked again for like months. And that was like, they did not fall in love in that moment. And then when they actually met was on the set of whatever the fucking name of that movie is. I'm never going to remember. And apparently his character says something like, yeah. horrible to her, like something like really, really fucked up. And so they like got each other's numbers after that. And the first two texts that he sent her were the exact quote of the fucked up thing that his character said. And then I am weed. And so obviously he knew that both of those things were fucking stupid and horrible first lines. And so they're aware a little bit, obviously. Not totally.
No, I think they're just smart. They're publicity smart. They're PR smart. They know, like, the more outlandish they are, all press is good press. You know, good for them.
But then it was so much that I started to doubt myself. So I'm not really sure what the truth. Because it was that one interview they did on the red carpet that everybody was buzzing about, too.
Oh, where she was
like
calling him daddy?
Her, like, naked dress. Yes. And she's like, whatever daddy wants. And I was like, I felt like she was trying to embarrass him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then everybody else was like, no, So what do I don't know. I'm not the Megan Fox expert. I just love her. And I think that she was done dirty for so wrong that nobody can slander her in my house any longer. I won't allow it. I won't abide by it.
I am 100% with you. I think that article, though, that with the I am weed thing, I think it kind of popped the sexy bubble for a lot of people because, sure, like, there was no explanation behind them. They were just like this, like, enigmatic couple where you look at them and you're like, they're gonna fuck the second the camera's gone. Maybe not even the second the camera's gone, you know, like they're like so like in love with each other, so attracted to each other, you can just tell. And so I think once you like heard all of the explanations behind the scenes, it kind of like demystified it a little bit. And then also people retweeted that I am weed thing and it fucking ruined it. I do worry, though, because I was like, I hope that like it's not one of those relationships that burns too hot for the sun and then everybody gets burned in the end. But it might be one of those still. I still love them, but it seems a little scary.
No, we're rooting for them. We're rooting for them.
We're rooting for them. It's going to work out.
I'm rooting for her happiness no matter what. I think the music video that she was in for him was good. And I also think it was called, what's that song called? My Bloody Valentine. And that's a great 80s slasher. So all around, hard for me to disapprove too much.
Win, win, win. 10 out of 10.
Bangers only, frankly.
So, you know, it was a big year for Megan Fox and this movie was a part of the year. And so if you haven't watched it, which I feel like not that many people that I know have watched it, here's what it's about. Here's the IMDb little snippet. A woman is left handcuffed to her dead husband as part of a sick revenge plot. Unable to unshackle, she has to survive as two killers arrive to finish her off.
How much did you know about what the movie was about before you started watching it?
I didn't know, like, anything. I knew it was, I thought, I didn't watch the trailer, which, mm-hmm, like, usually I love watching trailers. I'm so glad I didn't for this one. I had only seen, like, the, what's it called? Oh my God.
Poster.
Wow. Jesus. Help me. I only seen the poster and I was getting really mad that I'd seen the poster even because I thought that it was going to spoil like the end moment of the movie, but it's like a tease. The poster's a tease. We'll get into that later. But I didn't know. I'm glad I didn't even read this fucking IMDb thing because it gives away the big twist at the beginning. Jeez.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I went in pretty blind. The only thing that I knew about it was a lot of people were comparing it to Gerald's Game.
Yeah.
And
frankly, don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's a Stephen King book. Okay. And there's a movie
that they turned into a movie on Netflix, I think, or it's, mm-hmm, on Netflix. You can watch it on Netflix too.
Yeah. It's a super similar. Is that a spoiler if I say how it's similar, Sydney?
The only thing similar to it is the handcuffs. Quite frankly.
Yeah. There's a little more to it, but I don't want to give more away. There's handcuffs.
That's involved. The non-spoilery thing we can say.
Okay. Those who know, you know, wink. Oh. Chelsea, you'll live in the dark for now.
Where I love to be. But yeah, I didn't know. I, like you, I'd pretty much only seen the poster. And so I was not, I kind of was aware of she gets covered in blood, something to do with her husband, they're handcuffed. That was really all that I had. And I gotta say, there were many a surprise in this movie. You know what I mean? And if I'd read the IMDb summary, that would take away pretty much every single surprise.
Every single surprise.
Didn't watch the trailer. Don't know if that's full of plot surprises too or whatever, but
it gives everything away too. I watched the trailer because I was trying to find a quote today and I couldn't find it, so I was like, maybe it's in the trailer, and I watched it and I was like, Jesus Christ, it's making me not like trailers as much anymore. It's like, okay, we talked about it last week, the Jason X trailer deserves its own Oscar, but it also gives away the entire fucking movie. So it's just like, can we not? I like the teaser trailers where they do really interesting stuff with music and it's like just like a little tiny tidbit of what is to come. Like, I don't want you to spell it all out for me. What's the point of watching it then?
I will say, actually, you said that we'd talk about this later, but I did think it was really interesting when I watched the movie and then the movie finished, that like, obviously, you know what the ending shot is. Mm-hmm. And they had spoilers, but you're listening to the episode and you know what we do here, so you get it
now, baby.
But they had pretty much used like the final shot of the movie as the poster, but with like a couple Photoshop tweaks to make it like confusing enough, which I thought was super interesting. So obviously by the end of the movie, she's not handcuffed him anymore. But they added like the arm and the handcuff back in for the poster, which I thought was kind of a clever way to throw you off the tracks a little bit.
Is that like a red herring? Is that what that means?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, a little bit. It's
not within the film, but you know,
mm-hmm.
It's part of your set of clues, right?
Yeah. But I kept, I started the movie. I kept trying to guess where it was going and what the plot was going to be. And I was wrong a couple of times, but we got there in the end. You know what I mean? But I gotta say it was kind of a slow start. And I was reading some reviews for this movie too, because I'll get to it when we get to it at the end, but critics really liked this movie for the most part.
Good for Megan.
Good. Thank you, Megan. Congratulations, Megan. But yeah, everyone kind of agrees the beginning is a little slow.
Yeah, it like drops you into it in a weird way. Like I guess usually the affair is more of a reveal, but maybe it was supposed to be like, oh, you think this is her husband, and then shock, it's actually her lover. You know what I mean? Is that what that was supposed to be? I guess. Yeah, that's fine. There are also a couple things about how like Megan's character was so stoic in the beginning. Not that that's bad acting, it was great acting. Her character has just been through a lot and she was trying to power through it. Okay.
she's in a clearly abusive relationship.
Oh, that's
just like a miserable, and she is just trying to literally survive a marriage by being like, okay, great. And we learn that she's been like physically assaulted by a man.
Yeah, she was fucking stabbed in the back in a robbery. Like, oh my god, she's been through it.
And so like I understand the stoic performance, but I kind of think we needed a little more. And I wanted to see them together, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, I think that would have been a good way to show her kind of like emoting in some way that she really does care for Tom, and really is interested in Tom, even if it was just like the sex stuff, you know what I mean? I think that could have been a banger start.
Is Tom
the boyfriend?
Lover.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And then Mark is the husband, and her name is Emma.
I didn't remember any of their names. That was my biggest problem with the film. I was like, Megan Fox is not an Emma. Like, she's not an Emma. It's not believable.
I believe that character's name is Emma. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Something didn't quite match up vibes-wise. But it's one of those things where it's like, I see what the scene was doing, and I know why the scene was doing it, and I don't think it's like a bad start.
Yeah.
But overall, I think like the emotional stakes of the movie were a little low, and mainly it was just like, who didn't want Megan Fox to win after everything, you know what I mean? Like, that really was the drive, was like, let Megan Fox win, not so much like, wow, Emma's going through an emotional journey.
Yeah, I really agree. Like, they really didn't put any depth into the relationship with Tom, and like she, and they do a little bit, but it's too late. It's like in like the second act of the film, when she goes into the photo room once again, and there's all those photos of her with Tom, and they look like they're in love, and she's smiling and she's laughing and she's hugging him and all of this stuff. And I was like, where was that in the first scene?
Mm-hmm.
So you could set that up a little bit more. Like, I didn't feel anything when Tom died.
But in the first scene also, like, it was right before she had to go get ready for like her 11th year anniversary with her shitty husband. So of course she probably wasn't probably dreading.
Yeah.
To go.
Yeah.
Like, you know how
sometimes that's why we need to see them fucking. We need to see her with her guard down, enjoying herself, getting her Mac on. I think that would have been a perfect way to show that, like, even emotional restraint aside, you know what I mean? Like, clearly they just had a moment together or something. I want to see the something that came before that we can't do this anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it was just a conversation. And I think if we'd seen that moment, it would have given us something to grab onto with them.
Especially, I think it would have been a more jarring, like, breakup scene. Like, we had just seen them in the fits of passion, and you know she still is going to end it with him because, like, she has to, it's not, well, technically for her, it feels like she's not safe being in an affair. And obviously we find out that she's not safe because her husband is a psychopath. But yeah, I wish that they had done something different there, but, like, you know, still amazing. My main thoughts in the first, like, five scenes were, like, Megan Fox is a porcelain doll. I wrote, she's like a porcelain doll. Her forehead is so shiny, in, like, a positive way. I was, like, overwhelmed. In the best way. I was like, this is a woman made of glass. Like, she's so stunning. It's stupid.
So when she is out to, like, when her and her husband are, like, out at their anniversary dinner, mm-hmm. he makes a little comment when he goes, like, you get more beautiful as you get older. And I would just like to point out, I don't know about Emma, but I do know that Megan Fox is an astrology girly, and she is also a Capricorn rising. And as a fellow Capricorn rising, we are ruled by Saturn. Therefore, you tend to age backwards. So you'll, like, older you get, like, the younger you stay. And I know that line was put in there just for our astro
just
girly
for the astrology
Megan. Yeah. Like, I knew she knew the other astrology girlies would pick it up. You're a Sagittarius rising, which means you look like a horse.
That's why I have such a big chin. Fuck.
But it means you're really funny.
Thank you so much. And also, the next time I'm in the same state as you, I'm gonna wreck your shit. Wow. Oh my god, I'm such a bitch. Fuck.
No hesitation, immediately you look like a horse. Wow.
I'm a horse girl, Monica. It's okay.
She loves it, actually. She thinks it's great that you look like a horse.
Anyway, moving past being stabbed. But okay, one thing I do think they do well is, like, lay the groundwork for how fucked up his name is Mark.
Yes.
I was thinking of his real name, which is Eowyn, which I think is a cool name. I'm saying it wrong, but it's E-O-I-N. Yeah, I don't know. It's like Eowyn, Ian.
No
Eowyn
idea.
Maybe it's McGregor. Irish.
Yeah, I think he's Irish. Yeah, it sucks that he was such a horrible person, which made him not hot in this, because I'm looking at other pictures of him and he's a stunning person. But he does a great job of looking like a dick face, because he is a dick face through and through.
Bobby, the main bad guy, was also super hot. And I really was convinced there for a moment that that was a different Megan Fox ex-boyfriend from the film, and that the robbery had taken place at a different point in time. And that the husband was the one who had stabbed Megan and blinded Bobby. And that's why it was going to be, like, the reveal. I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. That was one of my
absolutely
theories.
Absolutely would be so convoluted.
That's why he's like, it makes you anxious to remember the time that I blinded your boyfriend. Don't go looking in this little police file. You know what I mean? That felt like it could be
foreshadowing
to me.
Yeah,
and then I was like, he gave her the necklace. I thought for sure there was going to be a tracker in it. And I just thought the plot was going in a slightly different direction.
You were close.
Then it turns out it did. I was the vibes were right. You know what I mean? The intention was there.
This movie just goes from, like, 0 to 100 so quickly. Like, obviously they do a good job of planting seeds of how sinister everything is. Like, Mark's comments, the red dress comment, just, like, makes your skin crawl. Ugh. Him putting on the necklace and Megan's face, like, or Emma's face, she just looks, like, miserable. And the whole necklace reveal later is so fucked up. And then like just her dread when she has to put the blindfold on, because he's like, oh, like I love surprises, but like, oh, let her pack a jacket if you're going to the snow, my man.
You could never put me in a car blindfolded, like, and put me in the back seat. I would vomit, just like her, where she was like, I'm getting car sick. I would immediately puke.
That would be what he deserves. You know what I mean? I think you should go for it if ever you're in that situation.
And the horrors like never end. Like his little, at first I was like, okay, I love his little romantic thing that he's doing. Cause even though I know that he's bad, I was like, I would love for someone to do that for me, Adam, if you're listening. I love
him if you're
that
listening.
Part minus the whole suicide thing.
Minus the evil stuff, Adam, if you're listening,
I love
word for
surprise.
Word copy, please.
Like the music and the pictures, I was like, oh, this is so sweet, but it's obviously going to be fucked up. But I just feel so bad for her that like it's just such a shithole the entire movie. Like then she has to have sex with him. She fucking hates him. It's terrible.
Yeah. I did think the slow buildup in that regard was pretty well done. I thought the comment with the red dress when she first shows up in his office immediately like set the tone, where he's like, I thought you were going to wear the red one. And she was like, no, I didn't. And he's like, that's fine. We can go home so you can change. Like it's not an offer. It's not a conversation. It's like, no, you're gonna wear the one I told you to wear, like immediately off the bat.
I missed that part. I totally missed that he said that, because then she's in the red dress later at the restaurant. Yeah. And I thought it was more of like an unsaid thing where like, oh, he made her change, but he literally said it. I just missed it. But yeah, I'm really glad that I went in blind to this, because the shock that I felt when he unalived himself was profound. Truly profound. Like, talk about, okay, say what you will, but like we're talking about this guy, he's obviously an evil asshole and has done many evil things. Like the drama of it all. Like
he is a sun queen.
God.
Drama queen.
One of the reviews that I read, I think it was the one from the AV Club, compared it to like a jigsaw trap from Saw, with everything that was set up and how convoluted it was. And I was like, I've never seen a Saw movie, but that feels right. And it was so well put together. And Megan Fox did a great job, and I was having a lot of fun watching her, blah, 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 whatever. But I almost wanted it to be like flip the script and have it be like an abused, battered woman who handcuffed herself to her husband, killed herself, and then is like, and I've set up this absolute fucking nightmare of an obstacle course for you to die. You know what I mean? I wanted it to almost be like, we're rooting for him to get tortured in the worst way possible. But that's a different movie. That's a different movie entirely.
That's similar to that too.
That's true. It is a little bit, it was a little bit Invisible Man in the beginning, but it's also a little bit What Keeps You Alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that.
There's a lot of moving parts here in that element. But also it's like, the reveals are good, but it's pretty straightforward at any given moment. You know what I mean?
Some of the reviews that I read were like, it was kind of just exactly what it was, you know, like they wish that, what was the quote? They wish it said more exactly about that, about like her strife in her marriage and how she'd been, if not physically, emotionally abused and all of this stuff, and like have her like say, like literally maybe say some words like about it. And have it be more meaningful and deep in that way. But they didn't do that. But the review was like, but I still had a great time because we love Megan Fox, just like what we've been saying. Just like, who wouldn't want her to win? So get girl, you know. But like, back to the drama of it all, like the fact that he woke up, he got dressed in a full tuxedo.
Well, did he wake up? Do you think he ever went to sleep? He had a lot to accomplish.
Well, yeah, he definitely, I don't think he went to sleep.
So he had many things.
A shit ton of stuff to do. He had to remove every single thing from the house. I mean, I guess that must have been already gone. She probably most wouldn't notice if there was no knife block, you know. She wouldn't be like, the knife block's gone. But yeah, all those pictures he had to change, the gas and the car, all that shit.
The phone. The recording. Phone.
Yeah, he had a lot to do. So he probably didn't sleep, but he put on that tuxedo. The little bow tie. He could have had the bow tie tied, you know, but that's okay. I'll let it slide. One less drama point, but it's fine.
He could have fully committed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But whatever. It's like another thing in the review that I read was like, you really got to suspend your disbelief for this one. And yeah, because babe, you could have just fucking crushed his hand as soon as it happened. You could have just taken his hand and stomped the shit out of it. And there you go. And
squiggled his hand out.
Break his thumb.
Honestly, break your own thumb if you need to.
I know. Yeah. She could either do that, the dislocated thumb thing, but the other hand that is involved is a dead hand. You're not going to hurt him. He's dead. Break it off. Like, I was going crazy. Oh God. But you know, that's not the point of the movie. The point of the movie is to watch Megan Fox do feats of strength. That's the point.
She does do a good job doing the feats of strength, though.
She does. She really does. The use of the dress as like the wedding dress as a draggy thingy. Brilliant.
Which I liked because she woke up in her little silk matching set or whatever. Like, it felt to me, can't speak to his intentions. He didn't write out his exact game plan. I can only guess. You know what I mean? But it seemed to me that he left just the wedding dress there so that it would be the only thing that she has to wear. And so they would be a little in their like matching married wedding set. You know what I mean? With him and his fancy outfit, her in the dress. And that she was like, fuck you, I'm not putting it on. Like, I will use this to drag your dead body. I will tear this up and make little tulle booties, like, but not for one second am I putting this wedding dress on. I liked that. I don't know if that was his intention or if it was just to haunt her, but I felt like his intention was to be like, put this on. And she was like, yeah. I will literally never eat shit and die.
I feel like it definitely was to ask her to put on the dress, especially after what had just happened the night before where he made her change her clothes. He's obviously very controlling about her appearance. So I feel like that totally scans. Oh God, what a motherfucker.
He's the worst.
I almost wonder if he had like put something in her champagne he gave her. You know what I mean?
I think because he had to have. There.
He must have, right? I wanted this scene like after they had sex. There were so many like little scenes that I wanted to have that I think would have added a lot to this movie. Maybe it would have given away a little bit too much. I don't know. But I would have loved to see a scene afterwards. I want to know, like, how was she feeling after she had to have sex with her husband? Like, did she put on that little silk matching set and put on all of her makeup again before going to bed because she knows, like, that's what he wants and that's what she has to do? Or, like, was that a choice that she made? Did he dress her up like that after she had fallen asleep or been knocked out or whatever? You know what I mean? She says she wakes up feeling hungover. We saw her drink, like, two drinks. I'm fully willing to buy into the theory that he was messing around with something. You know what I mean?
I think he had to have drugged her. Otherwise,
so much to accomplish.
Yeah, there's too many moving parts if she could possibly wake up in the night. And like, they're in the middle of the winter in a snowstorm. Like, the wind could whistle and wake her up easy peasy. So he had to have drugged her. Otherwise, it's just not a smart plan. If you're planning to get your wife murdered, come on.
We all know, and everybody who's listening should know, that you're supposed to pee after you have penetrative sex. And so I have never doubt that she used the bathroom at some point that night. You know what I mean? Like, probably there was stuff in there. She had the red dress she was wearing when they got there. She had her coat that she was wearing when they were driving over. Like, he clearly removed some things that were in the house after she was unconscious. And I almost wonder, like, did Bobby slash Jimmy come pick things up in the night? You know what I mean? Like, was there someone who was like accomplicing in the evening while she was asleep? There was just so much to do that I think.
I almost have to give him kudos.
You know what I mean? And that's why it would almost be so good if it was like a woman doing one last fuck you to her evil husband, because then you'd be able to fully give kudos. You know what I mean? And be like, yes, she thought of everything, queen. But again, different movie.
We have that movie.
Is it Gerald's Game? Is it that?
It's not Gerald's Game.
Oh,
I can't say it in case you haven't seen it. I will ruin the entire movie for you. So I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. But I think you might have seen it. But just know
that it's there.
Oh, it is. This is not what you're thinking of, because otherwise you would know I have seen it. But there are some similar, like, through lines, veins of storytelling from what was that? The Lodge that we did. Not exactly the same, but like the shocking suicide in the beginning. The cold climate. True. The
mind games.
Mind games, absolutely. The gaslighting and
manipulation. Yeah.
Different film, but
similar vibes. You know, bad shit can happen in the snow is like the theme. Be careful.
That shit can happen in the snow. It's dangerous. Honestly, that point when she was like under the water with the knife, I was like, this bitch is not gonna drown, I don't think, but she's absolutely gonna get hypothermia, and we just better pray that someone gets there in time.
I was freaking out about her little toesies also when she was walking around. I know she made her little tulle shoesies, but that's not gonna do anything. I was like, Megan Fox is gonna lose her beautiful toes. This is a tragedy.
She is gonna lose them either way, one way or another. Those toes had to go.
Oh, it's horrible. Oh yeah, I forgot about that part where all of her toes are gonna get literally cut off. Oh man,
here's the thing about the movie though, and what you were saying earlier, like, to have more lines, but she is literally alone for probably like 50% of this movie, 60% of this movie. Like, there's a long time of her just like dragging a dead body around, discovering all the little, not traps exactly, but all of the little like treats he left for her, being like, oh, like, here's some photos of you and your lover, like, here's one photo of our wedding, your face scratched out, like, oh, I left a little message for you in the car in case you got to the car, that's like, you made it to the car, good for you, girl, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, he has all these little things for her. The recording was honestly diabolical.
So fucked up, right under the giant poster of the man who stabbed her.
Oh, that's a different one too. I was talking about the one in the car where he like, has dragged him to the car because she thinks she's gonna drive away. And then it starts playing the music, and then his voice comes over because he like literally recorded a message for her to be like, oh, you made it this far, like, I'm surprised. Which, once you know that two people are on their way to murder her, is like
horrifying.
So mean. Because I also really thought, like, he was just leaving her to the elements, you know what I mean? But no, I guess not. Couldn't leave that to chance.
He knows she's resilient, so
yeah, that's true. He said this bitch is not gonna be easy to kill. I will have to hire a professional.
That fucking moment too, when the voice first starts and she like looks over at the dead body because she thinks he's so somehow good. Alive. Oh, Jesus,
that made me jump.
So good.
Oh yeah. Oh god. But the other recording was under the large photo of Bobby, right? That's his name.
Yes. And frankly, it was not until that moment that I realized that the robbery and the assault was like the inciting incident of their marriage, and that was how they met, was because he was the ADA on the case at the time. Like, I truly thought it had happened very recently, and I don't know why I thought that, or if I just like made an assumption because she looked the exact same in the photos, did not look like she had aged 11 years.
She
but
just keeps getting hotter, you know?
Probably that's exactly why, because I was like, same age, must have been recent. Anyway.
No, yeah, I totally missed that too, but it was him who put, it was Mark who put Bobby away. Mm-hmm, and then he negotiated his parole, which, like, that's also so diabolical. He had to have been planning this for so long to have helped him get parole.
Did he negotiate his parole?
He helped with it. I remember that being part of it.
He says in the beginning something like he just got let out on parole or something like that. I don't know that he says that he helped. That's why he says he has the file.
But I think that he said, I think Bobby says something. Like, obviously, says, like, obviously Mark lies at that point to cover his tracks. But Bobby says something that, like, oh, he helped me get out, and then, like, I'm doing this for that, and he's going to repay me for, like, all the years that I was behind bars or something. And they didn't say exactly that, but that's the gist that I got. Unless I hallucinated something during my second Manhattan, which is possible. I put banana liqueur in the second one. It was insane.
Banana?
It's a little too sweet, but, you know.
You go bananas.
I was trying something new.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just, again, you almost got to give him credit.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And when he fucking, like, was trying to set her up to go down for his murder, like, he texted Tom and was like, help, I fucked up, I need you to come here, like, hoping that they'd both get killed somehow. I don't know how this was supposed to, like, make any sense. Like, I don't know how the cops would ever come to the conclusion that Megan Fox killed the husband. Like,
I don't know that was the purpose of that text. I think it was just to get Tom there. I don't think it was to Tom jumps to, well, the conclusion that the husband is, like, had tried to frame them. But
I think it was,
no, I maybe think she is the one that is like, he wanted you to be involved in this, like, so it makes you look bad, because she's the one that's like, call the fucking cops. And Tom's right. Like, do you know how bad this is? And she's like, just call the fucking cops.
I was like, I've watched CSI, he's gonna have gunshot residue on his hands. First of all, it's not on her hands. I know how this works. I watched police shows.
But also, I think maybe that was just, like, a little trick just to, like, put that seed of doubt into their relationship for a second, you know? Because there is that second when, like, she's got blood all over her and he's like, I got your text that said I really fucked up, you know? And he's like, what the hell? And then he comes in and she's like, no, dude, he fucking offed himself. He's a psychopath. And he's like, yeah, of course, that scans. So I'm like, all right, Tom comes right back around. He's ready right away. So we love that for Tom. Too bad he gets stabbed 10,000 times.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess that's also part of my complaint a little bit, is that we have this scene between them in the beginning where she's breaking up with him. And, like, I think you have enough cultural context of scenes like this to understand what's going on, especially when she says, like, how I feel doesn't matter. Like, you get that she's not breaking up with him because she wants to. She's breaking up with him because she has to. But we only see her being stoic in that scene. And then when he shows up at the lake house, we see her being, like, wary and doesn't want to let him in. And then we see her being snarky and being like, no, my husband literally offed himself in front of me this morning. And I just didn't, there was, like, no moment of warmth in between them until after he was dead, basically.
Yeah. That, like, I wish that they had a moment to fight together. I wish that, I know it's all about Megan Fox. I want it to be all about Megan Fox, but, like, I wish that Tom stood one chance for 5 seconds, you know, he just immediately fucking died.
Yeah. And it's not that I wanted her to have something to fight for in that regard. And it's not that I think she, like, needed that as a motivator or anything. I think her own survival is motivation enough. And like, yeah, you said, she's really resilient as a character. But I wanted to feel the emotional weight of his death as it was happening and not 2 minutes later when she was able to creep over to his body. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it was like nothing until that moment when she was able to hold his hand.
Yeah. The movie is a little emotionally stunted for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think just like 30 seconds here and there and here and there would have gone so far. You know what I mean? And it's a tight 90 of a movie. They had this.
Yeah, exactly. It was already a short movie. Like, I wouldn't have gotten bored from having a little more emotionality in there, you know?
That said, there were some really cool shots and there was a lot of really fun moments when Jimmy and Bobby, the two brothers, are like looking for her and they don't know where she is. And there's one moment where we don't know where she is either. And like Bobby is going up into the attic and Jimmy is down in the dark room. And it like matches their step-by-step progression through the house as they're looking for her with like the camera angles and switching between the shots. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
And the moment really when she like drops to the floor in the snow to hide in the snow, I loved that. I thought that was iconic.
Yeah, there are so many good fake outs like that. Like, obviously, it's like a hide and go seek kind of movie. So, like, the thing where she was just there and then you come around the corner and she's not. Like, obviously, that's going to happen 1,000 times. But I thought they were all fun and I had a fun time. I really liked the boat room one specifically. When she finally, you're like, finally, she cut that motherfucker's thumb off and she's free of her dead ass, her dead weight husband, literally. And you know, she has to just lie silently under the sheet of the boat,
shivering. Oh. And then she's underneath, just like trembling in the cold. And I thought that was good too, because I didn't know what that was at first, because I guess I'm not a boat person. And it's not that I thought that I was, but I was really shocked to learn that I had no idea what boat anchors look like these days.
It is not shockingly that iconic anchor shape.
You'd think, but no, because I learned a lot about myself. I didn't recognize for sure what an anchor was. I did not recognize for sure what the gas tank from the boat was. I thought it was gas, and then she was dragging it, and I was like, is it an engine? And I just was a little behind, you know what I mean? But
I was like, how full is it that you can't pick it up?
Like, girl,
that was pissing me off. I was like, watch her roll it over a rock and it punctures and all the fucking gas comes out. That's what I thought was going to happen. And I was going to rip all my hair out. Thank God.
Thank God. But that pumpy thing, that's cool. That's I got to learn about that device. I like that just in terms of practicality. It's like, what a fun tool to have at your disposal.
It's also way better than the whole mouth trick.
Which seems gross, seems bad. Don't like that.
I don't like gasoline in my mouth. No, thank you. I mean, if that's the only way to survive, then fine.
Yeah, but, if I'm in a zombie apocalypse, I have to siphon gas from one tank to another. I sure will. But
the gasoline will go in my mouth and I will move on. But until that day, I would like the pumpy thing. Thank you. Also, okay, like, I know you're like, he's made for you to love him and be like, oh, like, he's not so bad. But Jimmy. Jimmy, he's so cute. I love him.
He really
tries
his best.
He tries so hard to curb his psycho brother. Also, that actor I recognize from something else, and I couldn't figure it out. He's also cute. Everyone in this movie is good looking. So there's five people in the movie. They're all good looking.
This is a very good looking film.
Yeah, he's in Reservoir Dogs and Rogue One. Oh my God, he's in a shit ton of stuff. Okay, good for him. Good for you, Jimmy. Jack Roth, that's his real name.
Jimmy.
I thought Jimmy's death was super sad, but like he had to, that was probably going to happen because he was too nice.
Yeah.
What's the other brother's name? Bobby?
Bobby.
Bobby kept fucking annoying me the entire time because he was not taking any agency with his own life and just blaming everything on other people. Blaming him like them losing their childhood home and like all this other stuff on the woman that he stabbed.
Which is like, blaming-
did she make you stab him? Stab her? No.
I just don't understand why you would be more mad at the woman you stabbed who blinded you. But why would you not be more mad at the guy who prosecuted you? You know what I mean? Like, why is that not, I would be more, I mean, I've never stabbed anybody, so I guess maybe you don't know until you know, But
yikes.
Maybe once I'm in that position, I'll understand. And I just can't sympathize at this time. I can't empathize at this time. I felt super unfair to me that he was so mad at Megan Fox and not at all mad at Mr. Mark Webster.
Right.
Well, at that point, he kind of like figured out pretty quick that Mark was dead. And so all of it had to go towards someone he could hurt. Well, but they made their common
ground before, you know what I mean? He says, like, we found our common ground. That's when he hired me. And
shared hatred of Megan Fox.
Although I guess, like you were saying, if there really is a line about him helping him get out on parole, that would go a long way to currying favor.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
True.
You know what? Fair enough.
I would like to make a redaction of something I said 5 minutes ago.
Oh.
Jack Roth's dad, Tim Roth, was in Reservoir Dogs, not Jack. I misread something, and I don't want to sound like an idiot, and I'm sorry. And we can continue with the podcast now. Like, thank you. Okay. I don't want some fucking Tarantino kids up in my comments being like, you fucking idiot. Like, no, thank you.
Be like, you're the dumb bitch this week, Monica.
Especially because you like Tarantino. So, I mean, you really don't want to be playing yourself like that.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't want that to happen to me.
I really want you to tell me what movie it is that you keep saying I'm describing. Tell me later.
I will tell you, but I can't tell you on this podcast because if I spoil this movie for 10,000 people.
Text it to me.
10,000. 10,000. I'll think of it. 10,000 people. Our 10,000 listeners.
Obviously, we have 10,000 listeners. Everybody knows.
We do. We do. So that's
no
fine.
No secret.
Okay, so should we talk about before we talk about the final scene and all the bedlam that happens at the end. Did I use the word bedlam right? I don't know. I just said it. I don't know.
Sure.
I've never said that out loud before. Anyway, we're gonna just pretend that I said it right. The scene in this movie that made me I didn't even take the SAT. I took the ACT. You didn't have to do SAT words for that one. I'm proud of myself. Anyway, the best part of this movie, besides the epic ending, is the fucking attic scene, which was Black Christmas 1974.
A clear
fucking reference. I was so down. It was also just like a brilliant plan on her end. The classic rocking chair switcheroo.
Classic rocking chair switcheroo.
Amazing. And the fact that she just like, he absolutely just smashes through the floor of the attic like a pancake, like hitting the ground. Hilarious. Love that. Little slapstick comedy for you. Oh, that's another thing that was in this review I read, and it's so true. Like, not that everything Megan Fox has to do has to have a little bit of like humor to it, but like there were some opportunities where this could have been a little bit funnier, but it was very, very serious. But there is one moment where it is hella fucking funny. She like, when she finally gets him to the car and she's like, gets him in the car. She climbs over him. She sits down in the driver's seat of the car and she's like, God, I thought you'd be a little lighter without all that blood in you. And I was like, yes, Jennifer's body, bring the comedy. Like, and that was the only funny part.
Well, also I loved the part early on when he is still alive and he does the, you just get more beautiful as you get older. And then she says, well, I started out very ugly. Loved that for her. So I thought that was a great line. I thought that was very fun.
Super funny. And it's funny because it's so not true. Oh man. Okay. So do we want to talk about the end? What a doozy. You know, again, the grandiosity, again, the drama of everything. Just like, oh, you have to hunt down Megan Fox because she's the only person who knows the code. Cool. You think that you're done. You open the goddamn fucking safety deposit box. And it's a fucking engraved saw.
Honestly, the legs, the efforts, the work.
Where did he get that done?
How long was he planning this is what I truly want to know. Like,
it had to have been a long fucking time.
Well, with all of the pictures, for sure. Yeah. And if you're working the parole scene behind the scenes, you know what I mean? Like, no doubt that also was at least months in the works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He said he had that necklace made. Allegedly, it has the diamonds somehow hidden in it. I don't know.
Inside of the metal parts, I think.
Presumably, like, you'd think you'd like hear them sloshing around, but maybe they have little.
There's all bones, the little chains. Whatever. You probably would hear those little chains first. I don't know. I'm no jeweler.
Yeah, I did think though. The reveal with the necklace, it was super fucked up when the saw was revealed, and it was like, he doesn't want you to cut the necklace off of her. He wants you to cut her off of the necklace. But also, it was already fucked up earlier when she realized she couldn't get it off, because I was like, oh my God, this is not a necklace. This is a collar that he made her.
Right.
That already was fucked up. To be like, so you might survive because you don't know that people are coming here to kill you just yet. You think it's just you against the elements. But even if you survive, you will have this necklace on you always. So best of luck and remember me. And I was like, fuck you, dude.
He's really so fucked up. Also, it just like makes me so mad. Like, obviously he did this because he was fucking furious with her. Because she was cheating on him. But like, another hilarious moment was when she was like, fuck you, like, you are doing this to me because I cheated on you, but I washed lipstick and glitter off of so many of your fucking shirt collars. I was like, okay, so like, please don't villainize Megan Fox for doing the same thing that he was doing.
Yeah, talk about a man who can dish it but not take it.
Yeah,
exactly. Classic. She says in that same like little moment, I was dragging around this lifeless corpse of yours long before you put a bullet in that deranged head. You just didn't know yet, or something like that. Because I realized I wrote down the words of yours or something like that in that quote twice. So I probably transcribed it wrong. But that's the gist. And I did love when Tom shows up. He's like, is this because of us? And she's like, I'm pretty sure it was because he was insane. And I was just like, yes, girl, like, let that blame wash right over you. Do not accept it. Let it roll off your back. I love that she immediately was like, no, this is not my fault. No, this is not your fault. This is because my husband is Jigsaw.
Well, yeah. And I also liked that he added a little bit of context too, because I was like, I get it. You're angry about infidelity, but now you have unalived yourself because you're so angry. Like, how do you win now? Like, I don't understand the like logic there with that. But he had been doing like fraud.
Yeah, he'd been doing fraud.
Whole life had exploded, and I was like, okay, this is making a little bit more sense. There's more context here.
Wonder, like, did he know that charges were coming that night and he got lucky off that it was happening all at the same time as his anniversary? What if it was not his anniversary, would he have just been like, don't worry, I planned a special weekend away? I mean, obviously it's just like that the movie decided because it's fun, and so why not? But
sometimes it just works out, you know?
Sometimes you just get lucky, you know what
sometimes
I mean?
You just like, get lucky. You're getting indicted on the same day as your anniversary.
Coincidences are real, but they're also fate sometimes, you know?
When your wife's life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly.
The stars aligned, if you will.
Yes, yeah. Everything came together for him really beautifully.
It's just so nice to see somebody finally getting it all. Well, not quite, because Megan Fox doesn't die. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I was going to be so mad if she drowned, but, you know, there's a way that she could have drowned. This could have been the bleakest movie of all time, and they all could have just died at the end. That could have happened. I'm glad it didn't. I would have cried, and I don't need that for my first movie of 2022.
Yeah. And I honestly, really I believe in my heart absolutely 100% that Megan Fox could play a deathly serious role. I like her to do fun movies because I like to have fun watching her in movies.
Yeah.
I like to watch her have fun.
Yeah, I want to watch her have fun.
And I think she was having a really good time when she absolutely obliterated his other eye.
Oh, I know. That was incredible.
Together. Oh, I was like, yes, girl, go all the way into his brain. Move it around a little bit. But his hands were so big. And so I was so mad when he was choking her because I was like, it's not fair. He has this big, giant hand. He could, like, pick her up with one hand. It's not fair. And I was just very alarmed. I was like, if she dies by strangulation, I will throw something into my TV. So
also, it was so unfair. So unfair that she spends, like, 40 minutes of the movie chained to her dead husband and then finally gets herself cut out and then they chain her to her dead husband again. I was like, oh, no, I know. Stop. She
that was
just
so
got out.
Doing it.
So unfair.
I'm like, why do we have to add more of the emotional torture here? But of course she's gotta be re-fucking chained. But when she turns around and chains him, oh,
flawless.
Yes.
Get it, girl.
Shoes, good for her. She does lose the shoes by the end. Both shoes are gone. But you know, it's okay. She'll make it. But
yeah, when she's got Tom's car, she's fine.
Mm-hmm. When she started crawling out on the ice, the part with the car, God, that sucked. Because it was, like, wonderful that she had the movie did a good job of placing the obstacles in the right spots. You know what I mean? Like, she gets to the car. She's managed to get enough gas in the car to get it to start. She starts to reverse. She's blocked in. Two previous cars are there at this point. And the only way forward is into him and through the lake house. And she's like, yeah, fine. Fuck you. I'm absolutely happy to run you over. No problems here. But, you know, you're on ice. It's slippery. Didn't go the way she wanted it to. But then it led to the confrontation out on the ice with her, like, crawling. Honestly, I, forgot she did get stabbed in the leg in that moment. And I was like, She's redistributing her weight. She's so smart. I thought he was going to, like, instantly fall through. It was a little more complicated than that. But
she was deeply
essentially,
injured.
Yeah. Because I was like, why is she crawling just because she has no shoes? And then I was like, she's redistributing her weight. She's so smart. Genius. Icon. Beautiful. And then I was like, oh, wait, she got stabbed. But she is still a genius icon and beautiful. She is still all of those
she
things.
She really is. She is the movie. Like, she's the movie. She is mm-hmm. the moment. Mm-hmm. She is everything.
And her makeup is still perfectly flawless when she comes out of the ice at the end. And if you told me that was just her face, I would believe it. If you told me that she uses the most, like, concrete-esque Gorilla Glue spray fix whatever, stay put, what's that, setting spray, I would believe it.
We got there.
Especially because, like, her husband sucks. You know what I mean? And wants her to always look exactly perfect all the time, I've gleaned. So it would be in character for her to use the most bomb-ass spray known to man. You know what I mean? That stays put despite getting spattered with blood, washing blood and gore off of your face, going underwater in the ice. You know what I mean? Everything stays put perfectly. I believe it. I believe that she has access to those resources. And I believe she's familiar with them and well-known.
I love that for her.
All I hope for her is that somehow, even though he's done many crimes, he still has Buco Bucks left and it all goes to her, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it all doesn't go away in the fraud charges, you know?
I guess it depends what kind of fraud he was doing.
That's valid.
It's true. There's no way to know. Only time will tell for the sequel where she's in litigation. Oh my God. Can you imagine? That'd be horrible. That would be the true horror. Okay, well, that brings us to our first segment, which is the age-old question: how could it be gayer? And Tom could be a woman.
Oh, true.
Tom mom should be a woman. That would have made it a way better movie for me.
Oh god, that would have been.
I didn't like Tom, that actor. He was great. Mm-hmm. He was cute, but he didn't write enough into his part for me. But I feel like it would have been sexier and better if
Tom was a woman.
Tom was a woman. I also, okay, speaking of gay thoughts, what the moment when Mark and Megan are like kissing each other right before they assume they have sex. Mm-hmm. I was like, this kiss isn't nearly as hot as her kiss with Needy.
I wrote in my notes, this does not look like Megan MGK sex. This is very boring, bland, no spice.
No.
The way she was just sitting there with one leg propped up as though to portray a sexy image without any actual sexiness taking place. It was just her performance for him. That was perfunctory is what it was. She was going about her business day.
Yep.
Because I want to see Megan Fox. That's why we should have seen
her fuck Tom in the beginning.
Because I want to see Megan Fox be sexy and also survive her stupid husband, because she can do both. She can be both.
And if there's an implied smash in the beginning, I think it would have been a good contrast. I'm saying, look, do I want Megan Fox to have sexy scenes in movies? Yes, obviously. Would I like them to be gay sexy scenes in movies? Yes, obviously.
But of course.
I think it would have done a really some good legwork for the movie.
Yes, character development.
Character development, relationship growth, you know what I mean? Get us invested in that specific relationship and those two characters and what they've built together and what she's letting go of, so we know what the sacrifice that she's making is.
Come on. Pumped a little more soul into the movie.
Let her do it.
Let Megan fuck.
Let Megan fuck.
I would like, that would just add a little extra layer of excitement if it had been like.
And I automatically would be more sad, I think, if it was.
If Tom had died, yeah.
Yeah, because I would have projected maybe so much onto the relationship already.
How is the female version of Tom, Tamina, Monica? Why is that?
Tamina, beautiful name.
Poor Tamina. I would have cried if we had lost Tamina, but Tom, I was like, poor guy. He had a cool coat. Aw, too bad.
He sure did try and send Bobby and Jimmy away. He sure did give it his best effort. You know what I mean? He did what he could to defend Meg and Emma. He did.
He really did.
But yeah, Megan Fox has never played a straight character in her life, if you ask me. If you ask me, can gay actors play straight characters? Yes. Megan, every character she plays, for me, to me, in my world, gay.
Yeah, so it's already gay because she's in it.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, she's not only a bisexual icon, she is so many bisexual girls awakening. Frankly, she makes the movie gay all on her own.
Mark that is said, the also, straightest Bobby man and alive, Jimmy though.
Could be boyfriends instead of brothers. You know what I mean?
I was like, they are brothers. They can't be boyfriends.
Can't be boyfriends unless they were. You know what I mean? Like, let's change things. Let's get creative.
I feel that, but I also like don't want that, because then you'd be like, Jimmy, why are you with Bobby? He's a fucking psychopath. I like it better, which is canon. Bobby is. He's probably straight, but Jimmy, he's gay, or he's at least bi, or he's questioning in his outside of crime life.
Mm-hmm. And his whole life might be outside of crime. We don't know of him to do any crime other than this.
It seems like he was kind of bamboozled into this by his big bossy brother.
Yeah, he says something like, you said we were just going to tie them up. So, I mean, he did know something was afoot.
Yeah.
But...
he did not think murder was on the table.
Murder. He did not think murder. Not
decapitation. Not even the cutting off of little piggy wiggy toenails. Not toenails, just toes. Hopefully they're that would be horrible.
If he just clipped her toenails, that would be actually.
Okay, I was thinking ripping them out. I would not want. I'm not into anything with digits. We were just talking about
House of Wax. Because I'm always talking about House of Wax.
When are we? Yeah.
Thank when are we not talking about House of Wax?
If I'm not talking about it, it's vibing in the back of my head at all times.
That movie had raw sex appeal. This movie, very muted sex appeal. Other than Megan Fox just being sexy, but.
Big agree. Okay, well then, where would our boy Matthew Lillard fit into this film?
I think he would be a fun Jimmy.
I agree. I want to see him
being like the sweeter one. And it's kind of like a Stu Mocker-esque role to be the sidekick. But the fun of Stu in Scream is that even though he's like kind of just along for the ride, he's like the wild or outlandish one. And I him as Jimmy, I think you could do a more wild outlandish thing here too. But him being like the more reserved, sensitive one, I would like to see that from Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, I like that. And it just reminds me of that part in Scream where Stu's like, oh, I'm not really feeling too well. That part.
And you really calm the police.
Like, you really fucking stabbed me.
Kill me. Yeah.
I think I'm dying. Oh, God. I'm just going to watch Scream now. Okay, I think that's the perfect spot for him. There are only like 4 characters, so slim pickings, but I think that's the best spot. Okay, then that leads us to who is the dumb bitch, and like we know who the dumb bitch is. Come on.
Obviously the husband.
Yeah, it has to be the husband just for being such a rude little punk alone. You know what I mean? Like, again,
the person.
Lots of smart thoughts in his head. Clearly he had lots of
evil genius.
Well, I take away smart, I'll say clever, because
maniacal,
absolutely maniacal, strategic, you know. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you married Megan Fox, you know how resilient she is, you know what a stone cold bitch she is. Like, you really thought you could get her? Dumb bitch behavior.
A fool, a true fool.
An absolute fool. And to really, it is dumb bitch behavior to come up with this plan and then kill yourself so early on. Like, you're not going to make sure any of it goes to plan. You're really just counting on yourself to be that smart and that clever that you've come up with a completely foolproof system. Like, clearly you didn't. Clearly you didn't, because she survived. It wasn't foolproof
at all, because if Megan Fox, if this movie existed in reality instead of the world that it existed in, Megan Fox would have smashed his hand immediately with the lamp or something, and she would have been out of there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the argument to that would be like, well, where's she going to go if she doesn't have a car to go anywhere? But I think eventually, if she had more time from the beginning that she wasn't dragging a body around, maybe she would have discovered the gas in the boathouse and figured her shit out.
She could have checked more shit real quick instead of falling down the stairs being crushed by his dead body. Oh, so disturbing. I was like, oh my God, she breaks her leg moment one, it's over.
That would blow so hard. That'd be so sad.
Bad. Yeah, definitely could have gone worse. Okay, wait, are we at Knives Out of 5 now? I forgot. It's Knives Out of 5.
I think we're all in pretty strong agreement for dumb bitch. I think we can wrap that up and move on to Knives.
Okay, wow, we're there. What did the people think, Chelsea?
We're there. Like I said earlier, critics were pretty positive about this movie. I'll start there just because that's what I've mentioned first. On Rotten Tomatoes, this movie got 89% fresh from critics, which I was much higher than I was expecting, not because of any thoughts that I had about the movie, but because of just like the lack of cultural conversation around the movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like it kind of didn't make many waves.
Splash.
Yeah, exactly. But it had 89% fresh from critics. And then this more vibed with what I had heard, or what I hadn't heard, was that audiences on Rotten Tomatoes gave it 56%, which is rotten. And then on IMDb, the movie got 5.9 out of 10, which is not terrible, but is not great.
Not good. Yeah.
I would probably split the difference somewhere between those two, because like I said, there are a lot of things that I think could be better, that I think could be changed. I would like to have more of an emotional response to this movie. Or if you don't want to up the emotional stakes and you don't want to like sit in some of those moments a little more, fine, but then make it punchier and funnier throughout. And I don't know how you do that when Megan Fox is by herself for the most part, unless you literally just have her like narrating things as she's doing them. But I also feel like, why not? You know what I mean? Like, why not?
Yeah, she could have been chattier with herself, like, ah, fuck, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that Megan Fox would like know how to play that in a way that makes sense and feels right and feels like fun and funny without it being like so clearly just for the audience's benefit. I do think there was some really well done shots in this movie. A lot of the reviews that I read online like really praised the direction for the most part. And the director, it's his first feature. What's his name? I have it here in my trivia section. S.K. Dale. It's his first full-length feature film. And I thought did a really good job. And also something that I thought was really interesting from trivia that I'm just remembering now, because there was like no trivia on IMDb except for these three things. And so I completely forgot about them until just now. But Callan Mulvey, who plays Bobby, the fact that he was blinded in the film by Megan Fox, he has a real eye injury that he sustained in 2004 that they just like worked into his character in his movie. So it's cool that that is his real disability on screen. And that they cast him. And then we were like, let's just like change the part to roll with this. I thought that was interesting. And also this entire movie was filmed, it says, hard for me to believe, but I think I do believe, the entire set takes place inside of a studio. I think they mean including like the frozen lake, which would make sense for it to be a tank for filming purposes. But also like would never have guessed watching this film. So that's kind of cool and incredible. But yeah, damn. S.K. Dale was the director. I thought he did a pretty good job. It's the script that I would want to change more than the direction that I would want to change. I would just want to like add, you know what I mean? I wouldn't take anything away. But I would like to add. I think there's space to add. So for me, I would give this movie like a 3.75 knives out of fives, because it's not quite to four for me, but it's close.
I feel you. I mean, Sydney, do you want to go next or you want me to?
So I don't know why I couldn't really get in to this movie. I don't know if it's my like attention span for the day or something. And I'm going to say something that's like the nicest way possible. Okay. But if Megan Fox wasn't like the star of this movie, this is like a Lifetime movie.
If they had the girl who looks like Megan Fox, who is in all of the Lifetime movies, absolutely.
But know what I mean? Like the plot, the like thing, like it felt very Lifetime movie to me, but Megan Fox was able to elevate like maybe a weaker story plot. And she, like, the only reason to watch this movie is because Megan Fox is in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to rewatch it again, but I'm going to do a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Fair. I agree with you on the storyline being very Lifetime, but I think it was shot so well and directed so well that it elevates it way beyond that visually. But like the story-wise, like if they hadn't had the cool shots and the Megan Fox, I totally see what you're saying. But it did have the cool shots in the Megan Fox. So I'm definitely giving it higher than a 3, but not higher than what Chelsea said. I mean, I'm right there with you. It lacked that emotional depth that would have really driven it home, but I had a blast. I had a really good time. I was laughing. I guffawed. I was in shock. It was fun. It was super fun. It could have been more fun. Or it could have been more intense. Those are the two directions that they could have gone, and they didn't go either direction. So good for them, I guess. They stayed very neutral somehow. But yeah, I'm going to say I'm just gonna give it the same one as you because I like to match. 3.75.
Look at us.
I know, we're so cute. I'm just copying you, but girl. I'll admit it. But yeah, I mean, I think this movie, if you guys haven't watched it yet and you listen to the whole podcast, good for you. I think it's worth it. I think it's fun. So I'm glad I watched it. I wouldn't have done it unless, you know, we were doing it for the pod, because it just, I forgot about it 100%.
Exactly. Really, it like just disappeared. There was no hubbub. It's because it's a Netflix movie. They put so much shit out, and then occasionally they'll be like, this movie was the most watched movie that's ever been watched on Netflix in the history of time. And it's like, okay, nobody cared about Bird Box that much. And then sometimes they just like release movies into the ether and they never talk about them again. Like, it's really not fair.
Did this come out over the summer?
Yeah.
They were too busy, like, jerking it to Fear Street every 5 seconds. Like, they literally were so obsessed with marketing Fear Street that I think that they just were like, there's no more money. Like,
they should have released
different budgets, but still.
They should have held it. They shouldn't have released a winter movie, not in winter. I really feel like they could. And Megan Fox, I don't know, maybe they rushed it because Megan Fox was having her moment. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I think they could have done a lot more to promote it. And I think it was worthy of that promotion for the most part.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It certainly wasn't bad. I didn't watch it and be like, what in the actual fuck? I didn't feel like how you felt after you watched Jason X. So,
which just for the record, because I was entering our Knives Out of Fives into my Knives Out of Fives document, Sydney did rate both Jason X and Till Death 3. Sometimes you say what you say and you feel how you feel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
That's who she is. That's what she feels. And I also loved Jason X, and I was thinking about it a lot today. So,
oh my God. Okay. We can't move backwards. We can only move forwards, which is why we're introducing our movie for next week. And you may have heard a little hint we dropped in the beginning of the episode when we said this is our second favorite collective love of our life, or our female love of our life, because
Megan Fox.
Next week features the real love of our life. This is shockingly the second time we are doing one of his movies, but we are doing a new Matthew Lillard movie next week. It's, when I say new, I don't mean it's new. I mean it's very old.
It's not new. It's old.
But we are doing 13 Ghosts, which came out in 2001. We have all already watched it with our spooky crew a million years ago.
I'm not ready to watch it again. Not
ready, but maybe I'm gonna understand it more the second time around.
I'm so ready
because I didn't understand it at all last time.
I personally plan to pay a lot more attention than I did last time, because I was like, my brain was like, I don't get it. And then it just shut down
exactly. But yeah, Matthew Lillard himself, our spooky king, his birthday is January 24th. So next week's episode will come out on the 18th, and we'll have just like a whole week of celebrations leading up to Maddie Lilly's birthday that is all about the man, the myth, the legend. So he, I can't wait it. In that regard,
a whole week of partying and then in
discussing the movie. I can wait, but I won't. I guess
it'll be fine. And it's thematic because Scream 5 is coming out like right now too, and so it's gonna be beautiful. You know, his energy is just perforating the universe, and aren't we so lucky?
Yeah We'll see Scream, let it wash over us, and then we'll do 13 Ghosts.
It's gonna be amazing.
It's gonna be a whirlwind.
Why don't we just keep riding that magical vibe we're talking about now? Why don't you just ride that vibe all the way into our Apple podcast page where you give us a 5-star review? What do you think about that? That seems like a good way to spend your time. That, or you give us a 5-star review on Podchaser, or this is new and I probably said this already, but you can rate us on Spotify now. You can. Yeah, I don't think you can write a review, but you, if you give us 5 stars, we can just imagine the nice thing you would have said and think about it this way. Way less work. Whoa, you just go in, you hit 5 stars, you're done. Amazing. So consider it. And incredible. Why not follow us? Yeah. And why not follow us on social media at @spooky_Tuesday on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. And think about this. You're about to see so many pictures of Megan Fox. This is the time to follow us right now. Get in while the getting's good. We're also on Facebook and Tumblr at Spooky Tuesday Pod. And we're on Letterboxd at Spooky Tuesday. So follow us, enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
Bye, spookies.
Thought you would be lighter without all that blood.
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamara Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at Captain Tamara, and our podcast art is by Mary Murphy, who you can find on Instagram at @the_moon_OMG.